The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
First of all, dear God, we come to acknowledge your presence in this place. For our coming would be in vain if it were not for your being here. It's good to see one another, but Lord, we desire to see you. Coming to your courts with praise and your gates with thanksgiving, Lord, but we want to enter into your presence. So, Lord, we thank you. Even now, dear God, open up somebody's heart, mind, and spirit to receive your word. It is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said or done in this place has been pleasing and has been as a sweet savor unto your nostrils. Even now, prick somebody's heart to let them know that we are all here with and for a purpose. Lord, if we ever needed a word before, surely we need one now. We thank you for your blessing us to enter into this new year. But Lord, we don't want to just make it in. We want to make it through, and we want to make it through to whatever it is that you have for us. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. As I stand in your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. For you said in your word that my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. That's the voice that we want to hear today. And we'll be ever so careful to give your name all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake, evermore that we pray, together we say, amen. Genesis chapter 15 is from whence the word of God will come. Genesis chapter 15 is from whence the word of God will come. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would please do so. Genesis 15 is from whence the word of God will come. Before I begin to read the word, there was something I used to do. I want to bring it back, and it just kind of helps us all to kind of get prepared in our mindsets individually and collectively. And so I want you to repeat a short prayer after me. Say, Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 15, this morning I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Should be up there on your screen for your reading. I'll be reading verses 13 and 14, and it said, And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward, here it is, shall they come out with great substance. He says, that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, God not only promised the children of Israel that he would deliver them, but he said when they came out, they would come out with great blessings. I've come to declare that the promise from the Lord is for us. The same promise that he gave the children of Israel is for us to claim in this new year, 2020. So on this first Sunday, January the 5th, 2020, I want you to declare to somebody around you, tell them, neighbor, I'm not leaving empty. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody else and say, neighbor, I'm not leaving empty. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Listen, I'm not leaving empty. I'm not leaving this service empty. I'm not leaving this month empty. I'm not leaving this year empty. As a matter of fact, I'm not leaving this side of time empty. I'm not leaving empty. Amen, amen. That's a declaration for us to make in the year 2020. Here in our text, God tells Abraham, he tells Abraham what's going to happen to his descendants. And he tells them that they're going to go through some great affliction for a period of years. As a matter of fact, specifically, it says 400. But he gave Abraham the promise that afterwards he would bring them out. In fact, God said, not only will I bring them out, but I will bring them out with great substance. Listen, sometimes I'm talking to somebody, when you are in the heat of the battle, all you need to know is that you will come out of what you are in. Hello, somebody. Y'all don't hear me in here. If it's some heartache and some pain, financial troubles and struggles, relational, whatever it is, you need to know that when you are in the heat of the battle, all you need to know is that you will come out of whatever it is that you are in. Now, you don't have to know when you're coming out. You don't even have to know how you're coming out. You just need to know that you are coming out. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have personally been through some stuff, amen, that the devil has told me that I am never going to come out of. In fact, there was a time when I felt like the children of Israel, and I felt like healing that if God did not bring me out, I wasn't coming out, amen. Listen, and sometimes you all need to know those aren't just words we speak. That's scripture. Psalm 124, 1 through 3 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Nobody likes going through trials and afflictions. But I'm here to tell you that you will never enter your destiny without a fight. Come on, somebody. In fact, all hell will break loose against you when you get close to your promise being fulfilled. Do I have a witness? But regardless of what you are going through, you have the promise that God will bring you out. You also have the promise that regardless of what the weapon is, hear me somebody, that Satan forms against you, the weapon is not going to prosper. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Isaiah 54:7 says, no weapon, y'all don't hear me in here, that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Listen, I know, Prince, you may not understand why you have to go through what you're going through. But God will take what the enemy meant for evil, and he will turn it to your good. In fact, the word of God says that all things, not just some, but all will work together for the good. Romans 8:28. And we know there's just some stuff. Tell your neighbor, say, this is just some stuff we need to know. Come on, somebody. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Genesis 15:50-20 says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as this day to save much people alive. Come today to speak into somebody's heart, somebody's mind, somebody's spirit, that you are going to come out of whatever it is that you are in. And not only that, you are going to come out blessed. Somebody should say hallelujah in this house. Come on, somebody. You are going to come out, watch this, you're going to come out with more than what you had than when you went in. I say it again. Come on, somebody. I said, I've come to declare today that you are going to come out of whatever it is that you are in. And not only that, you're going to come out blessed. As a matter of fact, you're going to come out with more than what you went in with. Do me a favor and turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, what he said, that's a promise. Tell somebody else, tell him, neighbor, what he just said, that's a promise. Now do me a favor, you turn back to the neighbor who just spoke prophetically into your life. Come on, somebody. And you respond to them and you say, neighbor, I heard what he said. I'm not leaving empty. Good God Almighty. Come on, somebody. Amen. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not leaving empty. Watch the text. Because the promises that Abraham was able to stand on here in the 15th chapter of Genesis are promises that all who are on the journey of faith can stand on. While there are a number of observations that I could make from this text that I could draw from this text, the main one that I want us to focus on today is that God's people stand on God's supernatural promises. God's people stand on supernatural promises. Listen, all throughout the Bible, you'll find God's people who are most vulnerable to temptation and discouragement after they've had great victories won by the Lord. Listen, I know you want to get happy, but can I teach this text? Listen, 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 listen. I said that all throughout the Bible, you're going to find people who are vulnerable to temptation and discouragement after they've had great victories won by the Lord. For some of y'all, y'all just happy to just make it into 2020. Come on, somebody. Good God Almighty. Say, thank you, Jesus. I made it in. 2019 is gone, and I've won the victory. But watch this, because back in chapter 14, you'll note the victory that God had gave Abram over the enemy. Abram, after making a great declaration of no compromise to the king of Sodom around verse 20, chapter 14, by the time you get to the end of chapter 14, Abram would become discouraged. He would become somewhat dismayed. So God, knowing Abram's thoughts and feelings, he would address them beginning here in chapter 15, which opens up. You got to look at the beginning of chapter 15. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Listen, somebody here, the first thing you need to see is that God addresses Abram's fear. We made it into 2020, but somebody already has fear and doubt and worry about what the year is going to bring. Somebody already has fear and doubt trying to figure out what's going to happen this year, and is this year really going to be any better than last year? First thing that God addresses is Abram's fear. However, the only thing is we can only speculate right about here what caused Abram's fear. However, the Holy Spirit gave me, it could have been the reality of the hostility that he would have to face on his journey of faith. I'm talking to somebody. See, this is a faith walk we're on. But sometimes there's a whole lot of hostility that we face because we're on a faith walk. You just can't do everything. You can't go everywhere, can't talk any kind of way. So when you stop doing those things, folk want to get hostile. Amen. But then the other thing it could be is that he has been waiting for God to fulfill a promise. I'm talking to somebody. Could have been the fact that he has been waiting for a long time for God to fulfill his promises, and now potentially doubt and fear has set in. Am I talking to somebody? Has God said something to you that you're standing on, but it has yet to manifest? And you're doing the best that you can, holding on, sometimes white knuckling it, trying to hold on to the promises of God. Watch this, watch this. We can only speculate on the cause of Abram's fears. Teach, Holy Ghost. But one thing is for sure. Baal, Lord, is going to address his fears, and he does this through his supernatural promises. first promise I want you to see is that of the promise of supernatural protection. You see, the promise of supernatural protection is found in the Lord's declaration to Abram when he says, I am thy shield. Hebrew word that is translated for shield in this verse is the same root of the Hebrew word in verse 20, or of chapter 14, verse 20, which is translated delivered. You see, in the verse 20 of chapter 14, Melchizedek is declaring that the Lord was the one who brought Abram's deliverance from the enemy. Therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 15, the Lord is confirming his blessing upon Abram by promising him continual supernatural protection. I'm going to stop right there. Somebody needs to know that whatever it is that you think in God, that he brought you out, brought you over, and brought you through in 2019, 18, 17. You need to know he's not going to stop protecting you in 2020. He had to remind Abram of that. Therefore, he says, listen, that he's confirming that he has supernatural protection. Protection upon Abraham is declared with the word shield. Warriors would carry around shields for their protection. The same manner, the Bible is letting us know that the Lord is promising Abram that he would deliver him from the enemy, that he would be his protection in the midst of a hostile territory. For some of y'all, that needs to carry you to work on tomorrow. For some of y'all, that needs to carry you back to school on tomorrow. For some of y'all, that might need to carry y'all to the next business meeting at church. Hello, somebody. That the Lord will protect you wherever it is you got to go. For some of y'all, you might need to carry that when you got to go talk to your banker or your tax accountant on tomorrow, this week. Amen. The Lord, the warrior would carry that around. But just as the Lord supernaturally protected Abram from the Pharaoh, just as the Lord supernaturally protected him from the power of the four kings, the Lord would continue to give Abram supernatural protection throughout the journey of his faith. But not only is there a promise of supernatural protection, the Bible says that there's a promise of supernatural provision. He gives Abram a promise of supernatural provision. He says, not only am I thy shield, he says, I am thy exceeding great reward. The idea he's trying to convey, I'm about to teach this thing, the idea he's trying to convey to Abram is that of payment. See, this phrase is also tied back in chapter 14. After the blessing of Melchizedek, Abram responded in verse 20 by giving a tenth of all the wealth that he accumulated from the battle to Melchizedek. By tithing on the wealth, Abram was acknowledging that the Lord was truly the possessor of heaven and earth. Not only that, he was acknowledging God as being the source of his victory. You need to know you didn't get through 2019 on your own. It was the Lord who brought you out, who brought you over, and brought you through. He is not only your source, he's your resource. Amen. And so therefore, he wanted people to know that the Lord, this did not go unnoticed, however, because after Abram tithed, the Bible said he would be offered by the king of Sodom to keep all the loot for himself. He said, keep the loot for yourself. He said, give me the people. Of course, Abram didn't accept it because he didn't want, hear me today, to compromise his faith and dishonor the Lord. Therefore, the Lord affirms Abram's faithfulness. And he said, listen, this ain't going to go unnoticed. And instead, he said, I will take care of being your provision. Listen, for somebody, you trying to figure out how it's going to work out in 2020. How in the world is this going to really work out any different for me in 2020? And God simply wants to remind you, all of us, that I have been and I will continue to be your provision. In other words, because Abram has the Lord as his reward, he can be sure of the Lord's provisions. Abram, hear me, Abram does not have to compromise his faith to get ahead, because the Lord would reward his faithfulness. Whatever we compromised on last year, the Lord said, stop it. Quit yielding to whatever the enemy has put a pressure on you, and we have yielded our wills to the enemy. He says, I will be your reward. This is going to speak to somebody's young folk, because we need to quit seeking even affirmation from the world. Quit seeking the reward of likes and all these clicks on social media. That has become the wrong reward for you. God has said, stop that, because you're trying to Photoshop your picture. And God says, I love the way I made you. It's a whole lot of people. Think about this, Miller. It's a whole lot of people, however, that would have been totally satisfied with the supernatural promise of protection and provision. Watch the text. Can I teach it? But Abram wasn't. Because the Bible says in chapter 15 here, you got to keep your Bible open, that Abram, he wasn't, but it wasn't a matter of disrespect over the two promises, Keeling. Abram was looking for something greater. I know God has brought us into 2020, but are you looking for anything greater from God in 2020? Yes, he woke us up this morning, but are you looking for anything greater with the fact that he woke you up? What is it that you are expecting from God? Not just today, but every day he wakes us up. So watch the text, because Abram not only says thank you, he says, I understand protection and I understand provision. He says, but I'm looking for the fulfillment of the promise. I'm looking for supernatural progeny, or I'm looking for supernatural offspring. Watch the Bible, because it's luck. Watch this. He says in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 15, Abram said, Lord God, what would thou give me? He says, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. See, the complaint that Abram is making is by no means a complaint from the lacking a faith in God. Abram is complaining to God out of his faith in the Lord, but not out of unbelief. He's saying, Lord, I believe what you said. In other words, his mind was on the promises of supernatural protection that addressed his fears, but his greatest desire was fulfillment of the promise. What is the promise that you're waiting on from God? God made Abram a promise. Back in Genesis 12 and 2, he said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Chapter 12, verse 7, he says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. So you see here in chapter 15, in verses 2 and 3, if anything, the question that Abraham poses is a question of trust. Abram believes that the Lord is going to make him a great nation. Too many people are praying to God with no expectation. And too many people are praying to God not believing that whatever it is that you're asking for, that God can and will actually do it. Why pray for healing if you don't believe God is going to actually heal you? Why pray that God will break you free from debt if you don't believe that he's going to actually do it for you? Why pray at all? Lord, I thank you for the breath of life, but there's some stuff that I'm holding on to. Amen. See, Abram believed the Lord was going to make him a great nation. And he believed that the Lord was going to make his descendants as many as the dust of the earth. But you got to understand, at this point in Genesis 15, Abram and Sarah were up in years. And God was taking his time, God Almighty, in fulfilling his promise. The problem that Abram has now is, when is God going to fulfill his promise, and how is God going to fulfill his promise. You best believe I've been on my knees for a whole lot of reasons about a whole lot of stuff. And there's some stuff I just can't talk about with everybody. I just between me and the Lord. But it's the same for you. You can't tell everybody. Let's quit complaining to everybody. You got to complain to somebody who can help you. That's not a complaint. You're just fussing. When you're talking to folk who can't do nothing about what you're complaining about, that's why when Abram was complaining, he went to the Lord because he can deal with my complaint. Listen, you go to a restaurant, you get bad food, and you complain to the server. They ain't cook it. They can't help you. Get to the manager. Get to the supervisor. Somebody who can do something. Quit expecting your server to comp your meal. They don't have the power nor the authority. But when you go to God, quit putting all your stuff out on Facebook. Them folk can't help you. Come on, and wait a minute. Y'all got the nerve to call them family. Facebook fam. What y'all think about this? They can't help you. You better take your petition to the Lord. Watch what the Lord does. He confirms his promise of a supernatural offspring. I hope you got your Bible open, because in verse 4, then in verse 5, he confirms it in verse 4, but then in verse 5, the Bible says he shows him the magnitude of his promise. It says, and he brought him forth abroad or abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Sometimes the Lord has to take you out of where you are because you can't see past your circumstance. And he said, I need to take you out. And he says, look towards the heavens. He said, that's how the magnitude of the promise is that I made for you. Then in verse 6, it says, and he is Abram, believed in the Lord. And watch this, and it said, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abram could stand on the Lord's supernatural promises of protection, provision, and progeny or offspring. And in the same way, we who are living the life of faith can stand on the promises of God, knowing that the all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing God who made the heavens and the earth will uphold his promises. Listen, as I get ready to close, watch the text, because in verse 9 through the end of chapter 15, the Bible says that God makes a covenant with Abram. And the covenant was dependent upon God's grace and upon God's character and mercy. Because you need to know that although Abram might fail, although Abram might not uphold his end of the bargain, his end of the covenant obligations, God had given Abram the great promise of a nation and a land and a blessing. But along with it, God forewarned Abram. In verses 13 and 14, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed, watch this, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward, the Bible says, shall they come out with great substance. In other words, not only will I bring them out, but I'm going to bring them out with great substance. They're going to come out with great blessings. Just as the Lord has been faithful throughout history to his covenant with Abraham, you and I as Christians can be assured that the Lord will always be faithful to his promises, especially to his saving and his promises of salvation. For the eternal covenant the Lord has made is not with the blood of animals. I heard you all this morning, but it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God's promise is sure. Why? Because God's promise is not based upon what we do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that God is not like us, because we can be fickle. Come on, somebody. But his promise is not based on what we do. His promise is based on who he is and what only God can do. So I've come certainly on this June 5th. God has brought us in. He's brought us over. He's brought us through. We had champagne, whether it was bubbly or not. Come on, somebody. Huh? We brought it in as revelers. But I need to ask you, what promises are you standing on right now? What promises are you believing God for in 2020? What promises are you holding on to as a part of your faith? Lord, I thank you for your bringing me in 2020. But there's some promises you made to me. There were some promises you made to me. Cynthia talked about the calling when you called me, whether it's as a husband, as a wife, as a child of God, as a student looking for a place in a new city. Lord, you made some promises. And one promise I know is that you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You said, lo, I am with you even until the end of the earth. The only sure promises that you know that you can stand on is, do me a favor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm not leaving empty. Come on, somebody. I'm not leaving service empty. I'm not going to leave this month empty. I'm not leaving 2020 empty. No, sir. No, ma'am. Not today. Tell your neighbor, not this time. Come on, somebody. Not this time. Not this year. I'm not leaving empty. Now I want you to do me a favor. Stand to your feet. I want you to look to the heavens. It's the same place that God had Abram look. I want you to look to the heavens. And I want you to declare, I am what you see. Open my eyes. Help me believe I am what you see. And on this day, you want me to see me coming out. Come on, somebody. That's your declaration. That's it. You want me to see. I need you to help me believe what you see. Sometimes I see pain. He sees victory. We see hurt. He sees healing. Too many people see hopelessness. He sees help. Somebody needs to know, and it's a declaration, Lord, I am what you see. Do you really see yourself as healed? Do you really see yourself as delivered? Do you really see yourself as somebody that God loves? Do you really see yourself as somebody that God can and still really wants to use? Do you believe for somebody who has yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you see yourself as being a child of God? For the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But first of all, you need to see yourself as a sinner. Because that's how God sees us. But he sees us as somebody that he loves so much. Oh, he despises the sin. But even as sinners, he loves us. And he loved us so much that the Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, thank God I'm in the whosoever, should believe on him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Simply come to declare to somebody here, listen, some of us came out of obligation. Some of us came out of duty. Some of us came out of from invitation. But for any of us, you need to come and get whatever it is God has for you. And I've come to declare to you on this day that you are coming out of whatever it is that you are in. To a young person, I need to speak to you. School will be starting whether this week, maybe next week. Somebody might be struggling in a grade. I need you to know you're coming out of that grade. You're coming out victoriously. You hear me? You coming out? Listen, I need you to see yourself as coming out. You are going to pass that class. You're going to pass this grade. And you're going to be promoted. Not because they're going to give it to you, because you earned it.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.